Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be here today. And thank you for being here this morning. And as we wrap up our Fall Pathway series on Kingdom Purpose, living on a mission. And today, many of you probably, I think, already know me, but I am Cameron Poe. I'm the campus pastor at our Bristol LifePoint Church. And so I'm thankful to be here and for the opportunity to be able to speak to you today. And we're going to jump right in. And we're going to be talking today about how to mentor and disciple others in their faith journey. And I'm going to do my best to stay in this mic. I want to move. I want to walk around and just get real close where I could spit on you. But I'm going to do my best to stay right here so everybody can hear me. But we're going to first start with Matthew 28:19 and verse 20. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So something from the onset, the very beginning, we're talking about mentoring, we're talking about discipleship. Every single one of us are called to be those things. I believe that. I believe that we are and should be doing our very best to be disciple makers. Amen. And we're going to look at the very beginning, which is go. Each and every one of us are called to go. Every single one of us are called to go and reach somebody. And there are people in my life that you will never meet. There are people in my life that you may never have the opportunity to reach. And there are vice versa. There's people in your life, in your inner circle, in your work circle or family that I may never meet. I may never have the opportunity to reach them and meet them. But we are all called to go and make disciples. We're all called to do that. And so discipleship is not optional. It is the mission. Discipleship is the number one mission in our life. And God has called us all to fulfill the God call to go. The calling to go. And that challenge to go goes beyond what my personality type is or what my job title may be. It's simply the challenge to go and reach somebody for Jesus. I'm going to start my timer because I'm a pastor now and my people tell me I'm long-winded now, so I got to stay on track. But even if it's not simply just behind the pulpit or just simply what you do on the platform on a given Sunday or a given Wednesday, but what we're talking about today starts in the home. It starts as you connect with somebody that you meet for the very first time in this place, or maybe you meet for the very first time at your workspace or wherever it may be. God has called us to go and reach people and connect with people and be the light that He's called us to be. And so that challenge to go is again, it goes beyond my personality. It goes beyond who I desire to be. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Many times it's uncomfortable to try to lead people and disciple people and mentor people. To get to that space, it takes trust. It takes something. You've got to build a relationship with somebody before you can say, "Hey, I'm going to mentor you." That doesn't really come off very well. Or I'm going to disciple you. No, you've got to build a relationship with somebody before you can get to that place and get to that space. And so beyond the pulpit, beyond a microphone, beyond an instrument, and beyond us, even a Sunday school classroom, we are all called to go and to teach. I'm going to tell you right now, your greatest joy is when you connect with somebody and you teach them a Bible study for the very first time. And you see them be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. That's the best feeling in the world that you will ever experience. And so I challenge you as the church to go and do that, to go and be disciple makers. And you say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a song leader or a worship leader. You don't have to be somebody that is on the stage, but more than anything, we need people that are in the seats that are being disciple makers more than ever right now. That's what this church needs. That's what my church needs. That's what this region needs, is people that are being disciple makers, that are accepting the call and going to make disciples. We're all called to do it. I think back of the opportunities I've had to teach Bible studies and see people's lives changed. And the way they thought before and the way they lived before and see this complete 180. They're going in the different direction that when you first met them. It's a beautiful experience to see, because deep down they had these roots so deep and so tied to the things that they used to do and they used to be. But God begins to sweep in through the power of the Holy Ghost. God begins to sweep in and their life begins to change because you are mentoring them to that place. It's a powerful experience. Jesus didn't just preach to crowds. He invested deeply in 12. The Bible, the biblical model of discipleship is that first we look at Jesus' example. He taught truth through how to lead, through the heart of the servant. And John chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." If you think back to the Sermon on the Mount, this mindset is so contrary even to our world today. It is. Because Jesus is teaching us from the very beginning here in His ministry. He's teaching us how to serve. And if we're going to be mentors, if we're going to be leaders, if we're going to be disciple makers, it's all about servant leadership. It's all about serving the kingdom. And how can I serve the kingdom? I can talk to somebody. I can connect with somebody. I can build that trust and build that relationship with somebody where we can begin to dig into the Word of God. And before all of that, though, I just want to show love to somebody. How are they going to know we are His disciples? It's when I show love one toward another. How are we going to know that we are disciple makers? It's because I'm connecting everybody that walks in this door. I challenge you. Everybody that walks in this place, I challenge you. Oh, you've got to connect with them. You say, well, that's not my personality. Just step outside your comfort zone in order to reach somebody, in order to minister to somebody's need, because you don't know what they're going through. And God is maybe speaking to you even today. Maybe you're in a meet somebody this afternoon and God is speaking to you to connect with them in a deeper way. Not just a, hey, how you doing? Glad to see you. Welcome to Christian Life Center and go on throughout your day. But it's how can I connect with them? And maybe God's speaking to you and challenging you. Maybe He's going to do that today, to meet somebody and challenge you to go to a deeper relationship with them, because you have something in your past that you've experienced. I feel the Holy Ghost. You have something in your past and you've experienced that they need from you. They need that from you. They need that deeper connection. And maybe that all the other people, and there's some other people that maybe have experienced that thing, but God is calling certain ones at certain times. And maybe we don't answer the call. Maybe we miss it. And God fills that space with somebody else, and somebody else steps to the call, steps to the challenge of mentoring somebody and discipling somebody. But why? Why would I want to miss an opportunity for God to use me to mentor and disciple somebody in their walk with God? Oh, it's what we've got to do. And God's called us through His teaching. He's taught us how to lead, how to be that example. And it starts as being a servant. How can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I be an assistance to you? And you begin to help somebody and you begin to open up and you begin to tell your story, and your life is a living testimony. There's power in your testimony. There's power in what you've been through and what you've experienced. And that begins to build rapport and begins to build relationship and trust with somebody. When you begin to share your testimony, they begin to share what they've been through. And then that give and take relationship begins to take place. That opportunity for God to develop something and build that trust and that mentorship opportunity begins to open up and you begin to be a disciple maker before you even realize it. See, there's a model life that takes place. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. The thing I want to focus on in this scripture here is that He ordained 12 that they should be with him. He said, I want you to be with me. I want you to spend time with me. That's all about discipleship and mentoring somebody. Is it's not something you just do from a distance. It's say, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to spend time with you. And one of the greatest things, and I've noticed this since pastoring, is how much it means to somebody when you've connected with them and you built kind of a relationship. Maybe it's surface level at the beginning. But what gets you a little deeper is when you show up for them in a big way, right? And so maybe it's something that they do extracurricular or outside of the church or whatever it may be. In some form or some fashion, you show up to support them. We don't love to do this, but obviously even in tragedy and maybe it's a sick family member or a family member passes away and you show up for them. How much that means to somebody. It's a powerful, and it's not something I'm trying to do this to gain an insight or trying to gain a relationship. No, it's I'm doing this because I'm serving. I'm doing this because I want to be a disciple maker. And so God's given me this opportunity to model life. And how do I model life? I spend time with somebody. I spend time. Jesus modeled what he wanted his disciples, his 12, his personal disciples to be. He modeled it. He showed them, if you'll spend time with me, I'll show you what it means to be a disciple. And that he might send them forth to preach. You see, he released them into the ministry. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed unto others 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither himself would come. He gave them an opportunity. He began to disciple. He began to show them what's it like to live out this life. What's it like to do this and live this out? And how do you do it? Well, I'm going to show you how to do it, but then I'm also not going to just show you, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to go out and teach somebody or not just stay within the four walls of the church, but be a disciple maker in your own circle. Because when you begin to reach somebody and you begin to disciple them into truth and they begin to get a grasp of this and understand this and God begins to change their life and you see that transformation begin to take place and you have to challenge them in those moments to say, hey, now you go be a disciple maker. Now you go reach somebody. And you think about it, if every single one of us in this room and within the church, even if every single one of us would go and reach one soul by the end of the year, and then they reach one soul, and then they reach one soul, the ripple effect that begins to take place in mentoring somebody and discipling somebody to truth, it's a powerful thing. Our church could not contain what God wants to do if we really get a hold of mentor and discipleship. This church can't hold it. You see, Paul's example is follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 is where we take this from. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Timothy and Titus were younger believers whom Paul entrusted with leadership responsibilities in the early church. They were companions and fellow workers within Paul's ministry. But what strikes me most today is that they were also spiritual sons of Paul, that he begins to raise them up and begins to lead them and guide them and mentor them and disciple them. But they didn't just stay on the outside skirts of they didn't just stay and say, hey, these are the guys I've won. This is a list of them right here. No, they began to get involved in ministry. They began to do things and begin to reach and preach and do the things that God had called them to do. You see, discipleship is demonstration. It's not just conversation. Discipleship is demonstration. It's not just conversation. You have to show people how to live it out. You have to show how to live this life by example. When you spend time with somebody, it's not just within the four walls even of this class, but it must break into our personal time. It must break out into our personal relationships because that's where trust is built. That's where growth begins to take place, is when you get one-on-one with somebody. You get one-on-one with somebody and you begin to connect with them on a deeper level. You begin to say, hey, this is what I've been through. And I know you may be struggling. I know you may be going through this. Maybe you don't even understand all of this right now. But I just want to let you know, I didn't understand at the beginning either. I didn't understand everything. I don't know everything even today. I'm still figuring things out at times. And you begin to be vulnerable with somebody and they see that personal connection and they say, hey, they're just regular people like I am. They don't know everything. They don't claim to know everything. And when you begin to just be authentic and real with somebody, God begins to open up doors in your life for you to be a true disciple maker. There are four key qualities I want to talk about of a mentor / disciple maker. Number one is availability. I preach this to my church so often. Availability. Being available. Being available. If you can be available, God can do a lot with availability. If you just show up and be available. Be present. 2 Timothy 4:2 talks about be instant in season and out of season. You know, we always want to talk about that, you know, with the preachers, right? You know, you got to be ready no matter what. You know, if you know, pastor's sick or if, whatever takes place, you know, you just got to be ready. Be ready. Have we always like to call it have one in the hopper. I always say have one. Me and Jeremy talk about this. Jeremy Branham, have one in the hopper. You got to have one ready. And, you know, at one, it's you maybe you hadn't preached and you just got it off to the side for that moment when you got to be me instant in season, out of season. But I see that scripture as more just availability as everybody. It preaches to everybody. Be instant in season, out of season. I've got to be available. I've got to be present in everything I'm doing. I've got to be present in the moment. I've got to be present and make myself available for everything that's going on. And maybe you're not feeling it a particular day. Maybe you're not in the best of moods. I could imagine anybody not being in a good mood. But maybe you're not in the best of moods. Maybe you hadn't eaten in a while and you get a little hangry. You know, my wife, she's not in here. I can pick on her. She sometimes she gets hangry. On a good Sunday afternoon, we need a good Mexican food to get us, you know, get the hangry spell out of our way. But maybe that's you. Maybe you're not in the best of moods. But somebody needs you to be who God's called you to be. Just being available and saying, I don't really feel it right now. But it doesn't matter when you feel it or when you don't. If you just make yourself available for God to use you and say, God, I need your help right now. God, I need you to help me, Lord God, to give me the words to say, God, because maybe I've been a little angry this week. Maybe God, I've messed up this week. Maybe God, I've not prayed like I should have prayed. But God, help me. Help me, God, in this moment to help this person. God, to be the disciple maker you've called me to be. God, help me to lead them in this moment. This is a moment that I'm weak, but God, even in my weakest, God, you make me strong. That's because when I trust in you, when I put my trust in you, God, there's nothing to worry about because you're going to give me the words to say. Because God, your spirit's going to lead me. It's going to guide me. It's going to strengthen me. Availability, number one. Consistency is number two. Consistency, discipleship. Discipleship happens over time. It does not happen overnight. We've got to make sure that we don't just connect with somebody, be available one moment, and we can't be available the next moment. Or we show up one week and we're all about trying to reach them and connect with them and lead them, and then the next week we don't want to have anything to do with them. How detrimental would that be to a new saint? The new saint of God. How crucial is those moments when you build that relationship and they're confiding in you and they're trusting in you, and for whatever reason you're struggling or whatever it may be, and you say, I can't handle that today. I can't do that today. I can't do that. But God's called us to be consistent. If you're going to be a mentor, if you're going to be a disciple maker, you're going to be available and you're going to be consistent in those moments of availability. And then transparency, number three, transparency. You got to share victories. You got to share not just your victories, not just the great things you've done or the great things you've experienced, but you share your struggles as well. You begin to tell them and let them know, hey, I've messed up. I've gone through some things, and maybe I've done some things I'm not proud of. You don't want to just spend all the time there, but you just got to understand, I've messed up just like you have. I've struggled just like you have. And I want you to know God's going to help you get through it. I want you to know I'm going to be here for you to help you get through it. I want to be available. I want to be consistent in your life to help you get to a place where God can use you for His kingdom. I want to help you get to that place and just be transparent. I said it a few moments ago, be authentic with people. People can see through you so easily. If you are trying to just put it on, they can see. They will see right through that. But when you show up in the good times and the bad, you say, hey, I've been struggling this week too. And you just begin to open up to them, and you just begin to, you know, just be real, be authentic with them. That's what is a making of a true disciple maker. And then number four, and not last on the list because it's the least, but it's the most important, is we got to be Spirit led. We've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. We've got to understand and know God. When we wake up in the morning and we begin to pray and we begin to ask God, God, lead me today. God, help me, God, get to a place where I can connect with somebody on my job. Maybe somebody I've been trying to reach. Maybe somebody I've been trying to disciple into truth. God, help me today. God, give me the words to say. And God, let your Spirit lead me. God, let your Spirit guide me today that I can get to that place where I know what you called me to do. I know who you've called me to be. And God, I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to work in it. God, I'm going to be Spirit-led today. God, order. I pray this prayer often. God, order my steps today. God, if you can order my steps, God, there is no worry of where I'm going to end up because I know you've got me. I know your hand is upon me. I know your Spirit is leading me. And God, I just need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. God, it's not your wisdom alone, but it's the Spirit guiding me to get to the place I need to be, to connect with the people I need to connect with, and be a disciple maker in this end time hour. You see, we've got to, step one, we've got to build a relationship. Trust is the very foundation discipleship is built upon. We then, too, have to teach Scripture. We've got to teach them to ground every conversation in the Word. And I don't want to get to that place where I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. It's not just like you've got to, everything you say is Bible. It's not like you're quoting Scripture to them all the time. But you understand, it's everything that I do, everything that I am, it comes back to the Word of God. Jesus is the center of everything I do. Jesus is the center of everything I am. And if Jesus is the center, everything I speak, everything I do, everything I am is going to be grounded within the Word of God. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word. Number three, we've got to model prayer and spiritual disciplines. Don't just tell them to pray, but show them how to pray. Pray with them. Oh my goodness. I know I don't get the opportunity to come to Tuesday night prayer here, but I just, it's so powerful when you have somebody new in the church that is coming just for the very first time and they walk in on a Sunday and then you kind of work with them, talk to them, build a relationship, and then they say, "I'm going to come on Tuesday night prayer," and they begin to you begin to pray with them, right? The dynamic that shifts in your relationship together when they see you pray, not just pray with them, but pray for them when you're together. That begins to take that relationship to another level. God begins to use that and begins to inspire and begins to speak. I know sometimes we could talk about this. God begins to move in a powerful way. And if you're highly active in the altars and God begins to challenge you to speak to somebody or go pray with somebody and you go pray with them and you don't have a clue what God wants you to speak to them. And you just pray with them and you tell them all kinds of things and they come up to you afterwards and they're like, you know, I can't believe you, I'm dealing with the exact same things you were talking about. And you'd be like, I don't even know half the time what I said, or I can't even remember what I said. And so it's those moments where the anointing begins to take over. And those moments when you are teaching them also, not just you're praying with them, but you're teaching them how to pray. So don't just tell them to pray. You got to pray with them. You got to show them, teach them, mentor and disciple them. Number four, we got to walk through life together. Oh my goodness. When somebody comes into the church for the very first time and you connect with them and you kind of build that relationship, you connect with them, sharing a meal, going out, and maybe you can't buy their meal. If you can, great. But maybe you can't buy their meal, but you go out and say, hey, I would love to spend some time with you. Would you like to go to lunch? And you share that time together. How important that is to them as a new baby in Christ. Is saying they want to spend time with me. They want to spend time with me. They could spend time with anybody else, but they want to spend time with me. And it's important to spend those times together, whether it's a meal or whether you help them run errands together or just hang out or go through challenges together. You're doing life together. And discipleship is not just on a Sunday. Discipleship is not just on a Wednesday or a Tuesday night prayer. But discipleship is an everyday experience. Discipleship is an everyday, not just experience, it's an everyday commitment. That I'm going to disciple no matter what. I'm going to disciple no matter what, every single day. I'm going to do it. Step five, we got to empower and we got to release. Give them space to serve. Give them space to lead and to grow and even mess up at times. And I know, you know, we're not pastors in this, all of us are pastors in this room, into a sense of like, or leadership to where we can make those decisions and make those calls and say, hey, we're going to release you to sing a solo this Sunday. And, you know, we got to be careful about that sometimes. But I think the understanding is help them to lead in teaching a Bible study. Maybe you're a part of a Bible study weekly that you teach. Let them have an opportunity to teach that Bible study. And if they mess up, that's where you have correction. That's where you have to help them grow. And they're going to mess up. They're babies. They're going to mess up. And so we've got to take that time to spend time with them, but we've got to empower them. We've got to release them. We have to lead by example, to think in terms of I do, you watch. I do, then you help. You do, I help. And then you do, and I watch. And those steps to get to that place where they can take over. And then challenges, and we've got to understand there's challenges that take place. Challenges in our mindset, challenges on what we go through. Number one is time commitment. That's a big one. I think that's a massive challenge in our mindset, is we feel like that we cannot adequately disciple somebody because we just don't have the time. But think about your priorities and you begin to understand, oh, but I did have the time to watch this movie, or I did have the time to go hiking, or I did have the time to do this, this, and this. It's about priorities more than it is about, and really goes back to time management of how am I spending my time. And I think that's a challenge I try to do often within myself, is where is my time going? Where am I spending my time? And try to survey that every couple weeks or every at least once a month and say, what have I spent my time on this week? And maybe I'm struggling in certain areas. Well, why am I struggling in those areas? Because I'm not spending an adequate enough time in those areas. And I begin to shift my focus and shift my time management. A big one, this is a big one in mentorship, disciple making, is just the fear of inadequacy. Every single one of us at one point or another have dealt with that or are dealing with that. Or you will deal with it. Fear of inadequacy. I'm not ready. I can't lead someone. I can barely lead myself. I can barely show up myself. But when you begin to be devoted, you begin to be submitted to the kingdom principles and the word of God, God begins to build something in you and begins to shape something in you to get you to a place that says, hey, I don't want you to just show up and someone has to lead you, but I want you to lead somebody else. I want you to be a disciple maker. You are enough. And I just would encourage you today, as we about to step into our Q&A and our questions, I would just encourage you today that you are enough. God has chosen you. I talk about this often in Bristol. God didn't choose Peter, James, John. He didn't choose all those guys. to be here in this moment. But He chose you and I. He chose you and I to be the disciple makers of 2025, going into 2026 here shortly. God chose you and I. So I would challenge you and I would encourage you today that you are enough. God has called you for this moment. God has called you to see revival take place in this city like never before. God has called you to this place for this season. So I would challenge you to take advantage of it and be disciple makers. And lastly, encouragement. God uses ordinary people. God does. God uses ordinary people. Acts 4 and 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Faithfulness, just showing up, spending time with God, began to show people, hey, they are incredible men because of who they've been spending time with. So if you feel inadequate, if you feel less than, spend a little more time with Jesus. And God will help you understand, I am enough. I am able. I am who God's called me to be. And I can be a disciple maker. I want to open it up for questions today. It's 10:30. I want to open it up for questions today. So we have plenty of time. The first one I want to ask is, who has been the most influential mentor or disciple maker in your walk with God, and what made their influence so effective? Ah, man, there should be hands going up all across this place. There should be so many. Yes. Brother, go ahead.
I'll do one. We first got in church. I was a very backward, shy kind of guy. Wasn't outgoing at all. And the pastor that taught us Bible study, baptized me, prayed me through the Holy Ghost. His name was Ray Leach. And over time, just hanging out with him and being involved in outreach stuff that he was doing, I watched how he just go up to somebody never met, talked to, and how he just take a conversation and turn it towards inviting them to church and everything.
Yeah.
And watching him, that helped me get out of my little shell, out of my box, where I could reach out and start talking to people as well. So he encouraged me a lot just watching his actions and hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we can do for those in this room that might be a little bit shy and backwards is find somebody that doing outreach and doing those things, hang out with them, and just learn how they do things.
Absolutely.
Watch. But that was a huge influence on me. Because back then, if you told me, hey, there's a person I have to go over and talk to about Lord, no, not me.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that.
Right.
But watching that, the big influence on me.
That's powerful. That reminds me, in Bible college, Brother Sleva, his big quote was, exposure breeds a burden, right? And so just that's what speaks to me when you said that was, just being exposed to those moments, being exposed to that personality and the life of a disciple maker will then challenge me to be the same. Yep. Anybody else? Who's got another one? Yes, brother.
Hey. I'll say actually my dad. You know, growing up, I saw him. I wake up in the morning, I'm going to read the Bible and stuff, and I'm just seeing this growing up. And then I get to a certain age, and then I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. He wasn't trying to be my friend. He calls, and they'll be like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, mentor, you looking for a mentor to yourself or trying to be a mentor to somebody. I mean, you have that relationship with them, and then you can shoot them straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to say, he was the same thing that I wanted to hear. He's saying things I needed to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a weak thing.
That's powerful. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think when you select or you commit to somebody and say, whether it's, hey, I want you to help me, I want you to guide me, and you've been in this a long time, whether you kind of or you see it developing into a mentorship, discipleship kind of role, I think it's important on the person who's being discipled or who's being mentored is to understand how important that veto power in their life is. It's when they see you going astray, when they see you you know, turning out to left field and you're trying to get them back on track is doing it in a loving way. Just saying, hey, I don't know if that's the best course of action, and this is why I say that. And so you're trying to guide them back, trying to lead them and mentor them, and get them back on course. And I think that's so important. Good stuff. Good stuff. Who else? Anybody else? Yes.
I would have to say one of my former pastor's wife. She actually married the assistant pastor of the church that we're going to, and he later became the pastor, but she was quite a few years younger than him, which was surprising in that she could be such a mentor to me because I was older than she was.
Yeah.
But she was a Sunday school bus rider that went to church without her family. In her young years, she lived up in Michigan, and then when she came to Tennessee and was the pastor's wife eventually, she was always grounded, always the same.
Yeah.
We would go to Ladens Conference. You know, you're getting fed by the pulpit, but yet she's still every day before the rest of us were out of bed, was on the balcony or somewhere studying the word.
Yeah.
She was always consistent, always the same.
Yeah.
She lived it out loud.
It's powerful. It's good. I will, if anybody has another one, I'll share just, and obviously it's an obvious one, but pastor in my life has been an incredible mentor to me. Just the time he gives sometimes when I've got questions about my own church and I have questions of struggles we're dealing with, and yeah, we have a small congregation, but God is doing some things. He's working, and just we all have struggles at whatever size you have, and just the consistency that he is every single time and the love that he shows has been an incredible, incredible blessing to me and my family, and how he's led me. And, you know, I know many of you had been here, and some had been here for a very long time, a lot longer than I have, but seeing just the pastors who had come before, and even when I was a licensed minister under previous pastors, and I'm not speaking ill of any of the pastors before, don't get me wrong, but the way when Brother Jeremy Dainsworth showed up, my pastor, when he showed up, and the way he invested in me to get me to where I am today, I'm forever, forever grateful, forever indebted to him. So next question. What's the biggest barrier that keeps people from mentoring / discipling others, and how do we overcome those barriers?
And you said it earlier, time.
Yeah, we talked about a couple of them.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And that's just a matter of just got to prioritize your life. What's important to you is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
If it's important for you to disciple people, you're going to do it. If it's important for you to stay at home and watch TV, you're going to stay at home and watch TV.
Right.
So you just got to decide what you're going to do.
Time management. Who are you going to serve? It's good. I like it.
I think also... I agree with that time is a big issue, but I think we potentially sell ourselves short because we think, I think whenever I think a lot of times about like discipling somebody, I see it as a huge time commitment, and it can be, it could be, but I think if we think it's all or nothing, that's a mistake.
Right.
Because I think I've had a lot of people in my life that have mentored me, have discipled me. And it's been in maybe bite size interactions.
Sure.
You know, important. Small conversations that we've had where it's just been, and it may have not even been something that was in their mind intentional discipling. It was just acting out their faith And it was an example to me. But sometimes it is, you know, very deliberate conversation, a guidance, correction or whatever. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities for us if we look around. There are a lot of opportunities right here today.
Yeah.
In those tiny interactions that you have with somebody. Just building that relationship. It may turn into spending a Saturday with them or something. It may. But I think if we think it's all or nothing, then we miss a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. If you're doing focusing on that time management, well, maybe you can't take them out to lunch today. But you talk to them and say, hey, I would love to connect with you next week if you're available. So, yeah, you can do it on your own schedule. But it goes back to that time management. It goes back to, hey, I'm still going to prioritize being a disciple maker. I may not be able to do it, make a great impact today. It may be a bite-sized piece you talked about. But I'm investing in the future. I'm investing in their understanding. Hey, I haven't forgot about you. It's not that I don't want to spend time with you today, but I can't. And let's do it next week. And so I think those are big things. Absolutely.
How long the interaction is, being intentional about it.
That's good. That's good. Zach, do you have one? Oh, don't you scratch your nose. I'll call you. Yes, ma'am.
Apple is another thing that always I struggle with is lack of confidence. Like scared that I'm going to say something wrong and then let them run away or stuff like that. They'll play that the most thing that did push you away from it.
Yeah. That's good.
I actually struggle with this too. That from the time I was a kid, I've always had this feeling that if I approach somebody for anything, I feel like I'm annoying them, I'm bothering them, like I'm a nuisance. It's probably because I was told that a lot when I was a kid. So I get this complex, and so sometimes that still plays into if I'm going to go up and talk to somebody, do they really want me to talk to them? There's still like those huge feelings of inadequacy.
Sure.
Not even just about my ability to communicate something spiritual, but me personal. Am I annoying to this person? Am I bothering this person? And that is, I mean, it's a flesh, obviously, it's a flesh spiritual kind of battle that's happening there. But that is a huge thing for, I would say, a lot of people.
Right. Well, I'll say the notion that we have to be this walking Bible encyclopedia. Just get that out of your head. We don't have to be that. If you don't know, you don't know, and don't fake it. Like, I mean, don't just make something up and really be wrong. But just let them know that again goes back to the authenticity of who you are. That goes back to just being real and say, hey, you know, that's a great question. I've had to do that many times. That's a great question. I don't know the answer. Let me do a little research and let me answer that question later. Okay. And I'll bring you back an answer the best to my ability. And so I think, Court, that's kind of what I would say to that, especially is, you know, yeah, the confidence may not be there, but don't feel like you have to know everything. Just be you. And what you do know, speak with absolute boldness. And what you don't, study it out and know for next time, or bring an answer back for the next time. I think that shows that authenticity, who you are. Anybody else?
I think for me, it's just being a shy, awkward person than I am. And so, like with abortion stuff, I used to kill patients and I'd say, pray for me. I'd say, okay, I will. But now I'm taking an opportunity to pray with them in the moment. And I see several doors open.
Absolutely.
In my facility, the people who call me for prayer
came to me asking for questions or things like that. And I've even had one to come in recently when she actually watched the services online.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Praise God. It's powerful. In your experience, what's the difference between teaching someone about Jesus and discipling someone in Jesus? Anybody? I think the big thing is we could teach a lesson, we can teach a Bible study, but when you understand, we can do it in bite-sized pieces like Brother Chris Sims was talking about, but the understanding of I'm gonna lead them when it's convenient and when it's not. I'm gonna try to disciple them on my good days and my bad days. And so I think those are helpful understandings to remember.
I think it's your sincerity too.
Yeah.
when you're just teaching them a lesson or teaching them, you're not connected. But when you're discipling, you're sincere there at that time, in that moment, committed to them.
Absolutely.
More so than this teaching.
That's good.
The lady gal, you're teaching me well. You know, it really easy to get there and teach the lesson. And, you know, say what's on paper, but if you're not living that out, you're clear. Not a CK, and you find joy. Even in the hard times, you know, you had a hard time finding joy. You know, so it's you, Marcus. I need this great big art. Wow.
Live it out.
Not only hear the word, but watch the word.
It's good. It's good. Model it. Model it. That's what Jesus taught us. Model it. Which of the qualities we discussed, availability, consistency, transparency, or spirit-led, do you maybe find the easiest? This will be our last question. I think sometimes we can get the showing up. We can get the consistency. Sometimes we can get to that vulnerable moment. But I think the only thing that can come through prayer and fasting is being spirit-led. So I think you could get all the other things right, but if you're not spirit-led, what good is it? We got to be spirit-led. So as we close this out today, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this series, this pathway series. I would challenge you with this question to go home with today. Who in your life right now could you begin intentionally investing in a disciple? And what's one step you could take this very week to start discipling someone? I challenge you with that today. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here today. Let's have a great service.